Blue Gold Sports is rich in tradition and excellence. It's about the athletes, the coaches, the games, and the history. And it all rolls into one place. It's the Rollin' with the Golds podcast, your official UWO Claire Blue Golds podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast, back from spring break. And now, I guess, really fully into the spring sports season. We've got Nick. Don't see much of a tan, though, from you there, sir, down in Florida.
So. I use sunscreen this time.
Oh, okay. All right. Be safe, right? Attaboy. Nice job. Well done. Proud of you.
So. I wish I was tan.
Well, let's jump right into it. Softball had a very successful trip down to Florida, right?
They did.
I mean, what, undefeated?
Yep, 6-0.
That's a heck of a trip.
And they went to a different tournament this year. So usually go to the spring games in Claremont and Davenport, and just decided that they wanted, you know, a little different scenery. Mm-hmm. I don't know much other than that as far as why the decision to move it. So they went to the Space Coast games last week and played over 3 days, two games each day, and yeah, came away with 6 wins. It'll be interesting. I keep telling people this. It'll be interesting if they decide to go back, because the venue itself was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's all turf fields. It's run by the USSSA. They get 3 S's in there.
Okay.
It's United States Softball something association. But very, very nice complex. It's right off of Cocoa Beach. Actually, we were down there Tuesday for practice and actually got to see the rocket launch,
which
is pretty cool because in the middle of practice, everybody's just like, stop! And we all looked over and got to see a rocket launch. So I could check that off my bucket list.
Attaboy. Nice.
But yeah, went 6-0. Teams that we've seen before in like Hamilton and Milliken, and then some teams that we've, you know, never seen in Rutgers, Newark, and Western Connecticut State. It'll be interesting. Just again, you know me, when it comes down to the numbers and the new NPI and everything like that, is the competition down there good enough to help us at the end of the season?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's one of the things. So the tournament's only 3 years old. There's not a lot of teams that get down there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you go to the spring games, I mean, from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., there's a game on every single field. Where down at Space Coast there wasn't. And it's just because there's 8 ball fields down there, and they just weren't, there's just not enough teams, right? And the big part of that is, you know, again, it's a new tournament, so coaches talking with one another and you know, possibly getting some other teams to come over from the spring games. But at the same time, spring break, you know, trying to get spring breaks to you know,
to match up.
So, but yeah, all in all, Blue Golds played very well. Got to give a shout out to Paige Lathrop, was named the NFCA Louisville Slugger Hitter of the Week.
Nice.
I think that's the official terminology. Okay. But she batted 7-27. I think the math on that was, 15-22, 16-23 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, they can hit the ball,
yeah,
which is awesome. It's selfishly, it's really fun to see as a Blue Gold fan.
Well, I mean, you know, you're looking at some of these scores: 8-0, 10-0, 13-10, 9-6, 8-5, 11-0. So, I mean, 3 out of the 6 were shutouts too.
Right.
So,
and the one, the second game against first game against Western Connecticut State. I mean, they were 2 outs away from a complete game no hitter. So, shout out to the pitching staff. I know their volunteer assistant coach. Eric Burrow, assistant coach Abby Place, have worked a lot with the pitching staff. J.C. Schultz, Claire Beck, Lauren, I don't know how to say your last name, Lauren, but I call you Trots. Emma Sather, I mean, the entire bullpen is I mean, they're dialed in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, went 6-0 down there and then came back, hosted a game inside Sonotag last night.
Yep.
Against a very, very good Northwestern team. University of Northwestern out of St. Paul, won the first game 7-4, and then ended up falling in the second game, so their win streak came to an end. But there's something there, man.
Yeah.
There really is. I think this team being able to complement their pitching with their offense and vice versa. I think me personally, I'm not a coach. I think just clean some stuff up on defense a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's just self-inflicted wounds. I think they'll be just fine, and this could be a very, very fun team to watch come late April into May.
When we get into the conference play, yeah, definitely. Well, switching over to baseball, because they were also spring break, but came away with three wins in their spring break invitational.
Yeah.
3-2 record. And, I mean, before we get to, because they got some big games coming up here against Whitewater and such, but, I mean, they're off to a winning start to begin the second year under Coach Riley.
Right, and I think that's where, you know, going down to Florida, obviously it's just to go find a field that's not covered in snow or, mm-hmm. or damp. But at the same time, you get to see some different competition,
right?
I mean, you get to see a Midwest team in St. Norbert, and
mm-hmm.
they're going to take you, they're gonna play hard. And to be able to, you know, they went 13 innings with them. And the mm-hmm. craziest thing about that is, you know, that game finished 3-1
mm-hmm.
Off a walk-off homer by a freshman. Like, defensively, it was just a defensive battle. Nobody could kind of, you know, find the cracks in anything like that. So, very, very good experience for them down there. I know they had a couple JV games down there as well,
mm-hmm.
Just to kind of get everybody, you know, some playing time and stuff like that. And all in all, as much as it is, you know, a trip down there, a business trip to play baseball and stuff like that, it's good for, you know, the student athletes to spend their spring break with each other and, you know, in a warmer state.
Exactly, especially at the beginning part and just kind of that camaraderie. Build that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So, but then I know we're recording this on Wednesday, and it's supposed to be for Thursday. Their game, Whitewater, coming up for baseball. I mean, be a tough early test for this team too.
Yeah, don't get any harder than the number one team in the nation.
And
it's
double headers too, right?
9 inning double headers.
Wow. All right.
Shout out Jason.
All right.
He doesn't understand why we do it.
Okay. Gotcha. Which, I was like, there's got to be inside joke to that.
So. Well, it is a little bit, but mm-hmm. some context. I think I will stand on this and say, I believe we're the only conference that does 9-inning doubleheaders.
Mm.
You see other conferences, even in the Midwest.
Is it 7?
7.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's...
It's a long day, a long 2 days.
36 innings, right? Four times 9.
Yeah.
That over a 48-hour span
is
nuts. And we've already, you know, in typical spring sports fashion, we've already had to, you know, change dates and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it was originally supposed to be, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
And so we moved it up just due to the weather that's supposed to come
mm-hmm.
and hit Whitewater this weekend. So,
yep.
Yeah, definitely a tall test. But they're a fun team to watch. They are.
Mm-hmm.
They're a very fun team to watch. I think the difference between last year and this year is just the amount of work that Coach Riley did with his structure and his culture. Last year, we're finally, you know, we're kind of seeing mm-hmm. the results of that. You know, if you're going to be in Whitewater, go catch the Blue Golds. Otherwise, they have their home opener the very next weekend, on the 5th and 6th against Stout.
So. Nice. And then lacrosse is actually in action tonight,
yes.
And that's going to be at Sonnentag. And they're looking to bounce back against Hamlin. It's for Youth Day tonight, too?
Yes, so. Youth Night tonight. They went out to the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
played 3 games, 4 games?
Yep, 3.
That's where Coach Radovi's from. He's from the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
He has some connections out there and just, you know, wanted to get some games in, and from what I hear, it was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, not getting the results we might have wanted, but I mean, lacrosse is a completely different being out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of where it started. It's kind of the Mecca in the U.S. as far as, you know, playing in Maryland and Virginia and places like that. So definitely, you know, different sort of level of competition, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, kind of, I think it was good for them to kind of see the level of the competition and see how they kind of match up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming back here tonight, playing against, you know, Hamlin for a conference game, it'll be good.
Mm-hmm. And then I know they're going to be in action next week, but the outdoor track and field season next week.
I feel like indoor just ended, and we're already jumping right back into outdoor track. But, yeah, it's
expectations still high for both the men's and women's outdoor track teams?
Yes, and we have some athletes who are on their final leg of their academic career who had already exhausted their indoor eligibility coming back for outdoor. So guys like Mitch Stegman, shout out Mitch, I know you're listening.
Yep.
Jacob Beckway, bunch of different athletes come back for outdoor. So yeah, they're excited. They're excited to kind of look to get back into it. And I'm looking forward to the Dick and Mary Johnson invite. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a long day, but I still think the fact that we are able to host home meets, I mean, this
that's a month from today, the 26th. So April 26th is
third year. I think this will be the
third year. Yep.
We've done it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's an all day event, but it is truly spectacular just to see those athletes in action. It really is.
And it's right before our WIAC championships too.
Yep.
So it's a nice little
precursor.
Yep.
So, is that the word?
I think that's a good word. Yeah.
I don't want to put wrong words into
that's actually a better word than I was probably thinking of. So you know me in words already on this episode. I can't think of any. So
well, they haven't gotten to that point of the episode yet.
And then also, which I know you and I have talked about quite a bit, but you know, they're going to begin next week, the golf team, men's golf team.
Yes, and they are itching.
Yeah.
As I've talked to some of the seniors, they're ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
I got to imagine, yeah.
And Coach Skinner has got them a decent slate this spring as far as some good competition, and you know, if they can play well and take it to those other, you know, ranked schools, it could be a very fun spring for the Blue Golds on the course.
Yeah. Well, I know too, just to wrap it up before we get to our guest here, because we had some winter sports athletes getting recognized too, right? I mean, one of our guests just got back from Nationals for the second year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be chatting with Blake coming up here in a little bit. I know the basketball team's got some recognition too. Shout out Carter. Shout out Michael Casper. By the way, when I saw the subject that said Casper, blah, 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 I'm like, you spelled my name wrong. I just had to throw that in.
Oh, be sure to tell him that he still spells his last name wrong.
But I mean, we had a lot of recognition for our for the Blue Gold athletes from the winter season too.
It was a good winter.
Mm-hmm.
It really was, and I don't want to leave him out because I was gone last week, so we didn't record. But I mean, yeah, huge shout out to Jared Stricker going back to back and basically cementing his. I mean, not he already cemented his legacy, but basically setting the bar so high for wrestling and winning another national championship.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to back at 174, right?
174, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, all in all, it was a very, very, it was a very good winter.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, always could be better. Don't want to get complacent, but yes, hats off to the winter sports and how they finished, and very excited for what's to come with all of them.
Absolutely. So, well, should we talk with our guest coming up?
Yeah.
Another gone to the national championships every single year he's dove.
Yeah.
That's setting the bar high.
Finished his Blue Gold career with a two honorable mention All-American.
Yeah,
honors.
Exactly. So
let's dive into it.
You get paid the big bucks in marketing for that, don't you? So we got a quick break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back talking a little swimming and diving coming up after these quick words.
When you need to buy a nice used vehicle, there's only one place in all of Wisconsin that gives you worry-free driving coverage free. Eau Claire Ford Lincoln Quick Lane. You get 12 months or 12,000 miles coverage on all wear items. Plus, you get a lifetime powertrain warranty on most used vehicles. If you have a nice used vehicle you'd like to sell, bring it to Eau Claire Ford Lincoln Quick Lane. They pay more, and they buy used vehicles every day of the week, except Sundays.
We're proud to support local Wisconsin organizations with the Festival Foods Brat Stand, where grilling and fundraising go hand in hand. This year, when you sign up your organization to work the stand, you'll also be entered to win an additional $1,000 for your cause. Sign up today and get ready to do good with Wisconsin's favorite food.
Second half of this episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast continues now, and we've got a swimming and swimming and diving athlete joining us, Nick.
Newest member to the All-American list for the Blue Golds.
Yeah.
An up-and-coming star, should I say. Competed last weekend at the 2025 NCAA Division III Swimming and Diving Championships. Nationals for all of you. Couldn't understand as I rambled through that. And just had an outstanding performance on the 1 meter and the 3 meter board, and kind of wanted to just have him stop by the podcast and kind of just, you know, tell his side of how the experience was, but kind of get a little bit more information about, you know, the swim team, because we've had Coach Sam Reif on, we've had Annie on before, and we know that this is kind of a powerhouse in the Midwest, but, you know, take it to the national level and just what it takes, because from my understanding, the swimming part is very different from the diving part on how, you know, you get to nationals and stuff like that. So without further ado, welcome to the Rolling with the Golds podcast, Blake Wallen.
Thank you for having me. I'm Blake. I'm a sophomore here at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. And,
I was gonna say. Well, no, that's a good way to intro it. So, Blake, why don't you just tell us a little bit more about yourself? Where are you from, and what got you into your specific sport?
Yeah, so I'm from Prior Lake, Minnesota, about 30 minutes south of the Twin Cities. And I got into diving because I was a competitive gymnast since sixth grade, and then I started diving in seventh grade and have been going ever since.
All right. So was there any like family, friends that got you into it? What was it that attracted you to diving and such?
It's an easy transition from gymnastics. A lot of divers have that background.
Okay.
And it's like same skill set.
Did you have any aspirations or goals to go to college and do that? Or was that something that kind of piqued your interest later on? Or what was that process like?
No, I wasn't actually sure if I was going to dive in college. I was kind of on the fence about it. And then I found Eau Claire and they had a good business program that I liked. And I really liked Coach Sarah. So I wanted to dive.
So, I mean, you know, I've seen some pictures of you, too, and with your background, I mean, I'd be scared to try some of the stuff, man, that you do over there. So, I mean, let's go back a little bit to when you were younger and such. I mean, was that something, I know some people is like, no, I want to try that, like adrenaline or something like that. I mean, were there some hurdles, like, mentally to clear to try some of the dives that you do in that? Because I'll tell you what, I'd be scared you know what to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a big learning process. I mean, like I said, I had that gymnastics background, so like the flipping and the going head first was never a problem for me, but it definitely takes a lot of time to get used to those new skills, and we do take a long time to build up to those bigger skills by doing lead-ups and such.
When you first started, was there ever like a fear of, you know, landing in water? And I mean, the dive team has a very popular and what's the word I'm looking for? Notable Instagram account called UWC Smack Cam, which is hilarious. Which, if you ever need a laugh, I'm sorry, but I laugh at your guys' expense.
So who does all those accounts? Just different players or athletes?
I think it was, I don't know how old it is, but it was created a while back.
Gets passed down?
At least that's my understanding.
Maybe we have our swim team account that gets passed down from athlete to athlete, and then our Smack Cam account that a diver runs.
Okay.
So it's focused directly on the divers, but what they do is they post the bloopers, basically.
Oh, nice.
You know, the belly flops, the back flops. It's I apologize, but I've definitely have laughed at your guys' expense sometimes. And you guys just do a terrific job with that. But back to my original question, landing in water when you first started diving was like, how long did it take you to kind of overcome that fear of, you know, possibly belly flopping or, you know, landing on your back?
I mean, I've always loved water and swimming, so going into the water was never an issue for me. Definitely when I try new stuff, there's definitely a fear of, am I going to land on my back? Am I going to land on my stomach? I don't know, but it's just one of those things you have to go for.
When you were younger, before you got to UW Eau Claire, Ned, did you do strictly high school? Was there like club stuff? Cause I know when we talk with a lot of swimmers, a lot of YMCA, YMCA teams and such, what was your career like before you got to Eau Claire? What were you kind of doing before that?
Yeah, so in Minnesota, you can join the high school dive team or in swim and dive team when you're in seventh grade. So I started then. I did like a couple months of a dive club before joining the team, but going on after that, it was just the high school swim team.
Okay, so it's just that's kind of because I know it's like different. It seems like because and maybe we'll get to that here in a little bit because what Nick alluded to, there is a big difference between swimming and the diving portion of it, correct? Mm-hmm. With this sport too.
Definitely.
So, but okay, so you get here, you get to Eau Claire, and you start diving. Now you're like gone to nationals the last couple of years and such. I mean, did you, was this a goal of yours to go to nationals? Was it always kind of like, oh, I know I'm going to do this, this is a goal of mine? Or has it just been, I don't want to say by accident, because that's not what I'm trying to get at, but it's like, has it exceeded your expectations maybe a little bit so far?
Yeah, it's definitely exceeded my expectations. I never thought I was going to make it to nationals. There was never like a goal that I had in coming in. I just wanted to dive and see where it took me.
Mm-hmm. So kind of explain, what is it like to be at nationals? What's that environment like? I mean, butterflies, I got to imagine. Was there some nerves? Was year two easier than year one? What's that environment like for you?
Yeah, year two is definitely easier than year one. It's definitely a big meet. A lot of people there, a lot of good competition. A few people that I've dove against before just throughout the season. As for like nerves, for me personally, it's I already made it to the very top, like that's the top level, so the nerves kind of do go away. I'm not pushing myself to get to the next thing, but I still want to do well.
Mm-hmm. So this might be a stupid question just because I don't know a whole lot about it, but like with the diving, is there different heights that you dive off, and is there different ways that you try to go up to the next one? Because I'm thinking of like the movies, you know, when you watch that and they're like, they're way up to the top and that, and there's like, is there different benchmarks? Do you get extra points, or if you're diving higher, or how does that work?
Yeah, so there's the 1 meter and the 3 meter board.
Okay.
D3 doesn't do the platform, so the higher board or higher platforms.
Mm-hmm.
But as for like degree of difficulty, usually the easier dives on the 3 meter board have a lower degree of difficulty than the 1 meter board. Yeah.
So when you're getting ready and you're on that platform, what's going through your mind? Are you trying not to think too much? Are you thinking, you know, like what's kind of going through your mind at that point? Are you trying to just kind of, to quote a baseball movie, clear the mechanism a little bit and kind of shut the outside noise?
Yeah. I mean, when you're at the nationals competition, like personally, I know I've done all these dives. I know I can do it. So it's just getting it off the board for me.
Is it weird though to like, because everybody's watching you, right? Like you know, all those eyes are on you, just like you.
It's completely silent, all eyes on you. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a weird feeling? Was that something to get used to from, or an adjustment for you from like the high school level to college level, or is that something you could just never really kind of get used to?
No, I mean it was the same in high school as well, like completely silent, all eyes on you. But I kind of just ignore that fact.
See, you're better than me. I would never be able to do that. Like all those eyes just watching you, because it just, I'd start to get in my own head at that point. Like, how do you cut that off, or how do you shut that off? A lot of practice?
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of mental practice with that too. So
for other sports, say like track, right? You hit WIAC championships. Usually if you take home the crown in conference, usually you've hit a benchmark time or distance or whatever in field to basically solidify yourself for nationals. You won the crown in the 3 meter this year, correct? But then you still went off to diving zones, right? And it's funny because I'm sure you don't know this, but like as when you guys start the season and as you guys start going, Annie will send us Annie will send Spencer and I results, and then every once in a while she just makes a little note. Blake hit zone cut. Blake hit zone cut. I've never really had the nerve to be like, hey, Annie, what's a zone cut? I'm just like, okay, yes. Cool. Mention the recap. Somebody will know what that is. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes. So throughout the season, divers can get zone cuts on a board. So it's a certain score that allows you to go to zones. You have to get two of them on a certain board to be able to be eligible for zones. And the zones meet is basically just another meet before nationals to really separate the people or the conference from the people who are actually going to go to nationals. It's a last final step. Scoring's a little bit more like nationals there, so it really sets some people apart.
No, do you have to hit a certain score at zones or finish in a top placement to then make it to nationals? Is it kind of like a playoff or like a regional in a sense?
Yeah, definitely like regionals. So usually like top 3-4 are moving on to nationals. It really depends on each specific zone. Each zone has a certain number of spots eligible for nationals. So ours had about like 6-7 maybe. So if the first person is the same on both boards, they're going, and like second person on both boards, they're going. But it could be like they got second on 1 meter, but like fifth on 3 meter, they're still going to go because they got second on that 1 meter.
So, you know, again, I'm looking at some of your pictures and just some of your crazy, you know, twists and all that. Is that something that you and the coaches, you know, you come up with these ideas? Is there like a certain, I don't know if routine's the best way to describe it, but is there like, okay, we're going to try doing this flip here and do, it sounds very generic, but I'm just kind of, you know, I'm not familiar on how that works, but is there something like a game plan that you guys come up with that you work on, or how does that kind of work out, or what's kind of like the inner workings when you come up with a dive, essentially?
Yeah, so all the bigger dives build off the smaller ones. So, I mean, for instance, you start with your front dive, and then you go move on to your front 1.5 somersaults, and then from there, double somersault. And then, yeah, it slowly builds, and we do lead up. So, like, going to our feet instead of turning it over onto our head first before we go up to the higher board.
So is there like a freestyle? I don't know if that's like the correct way. So I'm trying to like use gymnastics terminology a little bit. Is there anything like that involved with diving at all?
No. So with diving, there's 5 different categories of dives, front, back, inward, reverse, and then twister. So you have to do something from that category.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite category of those 5?
Really depends on the board, honestly, but I do like back dives and front.
So when you say depends on the board, is there difference, like when you go to a different place, do you factor that in? Is there any like pools or boards, are they different from place to place, or are they pretty generic and pretty the same?
No, the board does matter. It's different.
Okay.
And all the pools, like at nationals, the boards were really nice, whereas I mean our board here at Eau Claire is really nice as well, but it's not as bouncy, so it takes getting used to each different board.
Man, there seems to be a lot more intrigue. I can't even say that word. Can you say it for me?
Intrigue?
Intricacy. That's not the right word. Small details that you have to factor into
yes.
it. That's the definition. I can't.
I'm still trying to think, what word are you trying to say?
It'll come to me. I'll tell you afterwards, probably.
Do you have an idea?
No.
I know you just met him, but...
It'll come to me.
It's an intricate process.
That's the word. Mm-hmm. See, I can't say it.
Intricate. There you go.
Thank you. That's the word.
Yes, it's a lot more than just jumping off a board.
It's different. And the type of board, too, I guess I didn't realize that. I thought they would have been the same at different places, you know, with the bouncer, like how you explained it.
Yeah. I mean, the board itself is the same, but the setting you have to put the board on, so like when you spin the wheel with your foot, it changes how bouncy the board is. So,
I didn't know that either.
At our board at home, I usually put it around like 8, the highest is 9.
So you can adjust it?
Yes.
Okay, I did not know that.
For how much bounce you want to get.
Interesting.
So, but at nationals, those boards are better, they're newer, so I had to move it up to about 7 to adjust for that.
Okay. So you were able to get, obviously, some practice runs
there a little bit, I had 2 days of practice before competition.
So did you prepare differently, you know, going to nationals than what you normally do? Or when you get to that stage, do you try to keep it as same as possible throughout how you prepared throughout the regular season?
Pretty much the same, yeah. I mean, going into nationals, it was just me, so I didn't have to practice as long, but we're still doing the 11 dive list up until nationals.
So nationals, you competed Wednesday, Friday, correct?
Yes.
If I remember correctly. What do you do? What do you do Thursday? What do you do Saturday? Obviously, you had Molly Hosack there as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming, did you have all 3 coaches and you 2 there? Or who was the travel party last weekend?
Yeah, it was Annie, Sam and Coach Sarah, and then me and Molly.
Molly, so off days, are you just kind of hanging around the venue, just at the hotel? Are you guys going out and doing stuff? Like, just wondering from my own perspective of, you know, because I've been able to travel with some other teams for NCAA events, and on off days, every team is different, right? Some teams like to, you know, just stay at the hotel, stay locked in. Others, you know, try to take advantage of the time, the downtime, go visit, you know, if it's a city they haven't been to, stuff like that. What did you do Thursday?
Thursday, I just had another practice day and spent the day out with my family. And then Monday and Tuesday, we also had practice days and then spent the day at our Airbnb.
Airbnb, nice.
Is that, as an athlete, would you rather, do you like that break in between to kind of, or would you just rather keep going?
No, I like the break. It's definitely helpful to reset.
To kind of
the
reset
day before,
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, you've had, you know, you're what, a sophomore?
Yes.
And you've had the success. Have you already thought about, okay, what's next? You know, I mean, you've set some high bars, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you thought about already kind of your junior year and senior year? Like, you know, I got to imagine it's getting back to nationals, right? I mean, because you've already been there twice. So.
Yeah, it would be. I'm a little bit of a strange case, though. So I'm actually graduating in May.
You overachiever, you.
So, yeah. yeah, this was it for my nationals, but I'm happy with how that went and how it ended.
2 years and you've already are into it, so.
Yeah, I got my associate's degree in
okay.
high school, so coming in, I already have enough credits.
Wow, did you know that, Nick?
No, I didn't. I thought we had 2 more years.
No, that's... unfortunately not, but it is what
hey,
it is.
Going out with a bang then.
Yeah,
that's,
right.
That's
exactly.
Awesome. Well, what's do you have future plans?
So I'm currently an accounting major, so going to something in that. I also plan to pursue my CPA at some point.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to still be involved? Have you thought about coaching at any point in your career? Or
yeah, it's definitely an idea. I mean, I'm still going to be involved with our dive team here. I have friends there and
mm-hmm.
curious to see how they do, and I'm willing to help them as well and mm-hmm. help coach Sarah.
So speaking of Sarah, because I think she is an unsung hero,
mm-hmm.
Definitely behind the scenes isn't one to kind of, you know, be in the spotlight, but we've had some amazing divers come out of, you know, Eau Claire, herself included, as an alumnus. Just talk a little bit about Sarah and, like, how she operates and how she has helped you to get to where you have wanted to be.
Definitely. She is very committed to the diving world. I think I was her 10th consecutive nationals athlete. And she knows what those national judges are looking for. So right from the get-go, in the season, she's training us to do all those small little details that those nationals judges look for. So however far we do get along in the season, we're ready for that.
Mm-hmm. Because she had a pretty, I mean, did she go to nationals?
She went to nationals for 4 years here.
Right.
Herself. So personal experience
mm-hmm.
being passed on.
So, I mean, have you, because I think when we had Coach Annie on, she talked about the dynamic between the swimming and the diving portion of it, and just talked about how, you know, much Sarah's a huge benefit because, you know, I think Annie's more the swimming
yes.
part of it there too. So, is
correct that, me if I'm wrong.
Yes,
but.
She's the head swim coach.
Yeah. Okay. So you work probably mostly with Coach Sarah?
Yes.
Over there. So is there anything that you, have you guys like done anything with the swimming part, or is it just strictly you just focus on the diving aspect?
I would not want to swim a 50.
No?
No. I don't think any of us would. No, we just do diving. The most I'll swim is back to the side of the pool.
Do the swimmers ever try diving?
They talk about it. I mean, in our Puerto Rico trip, a few of them went off the 10 meter for fun.
What's the Puerto Rico trip like? Because we've heard about that too.
Yeah.
A little bit.
The Puerto Rico trip, it's right after our... or we're coming off of our big Rochester meet, which is our first 11-dive meet of the season, and right after winter break. And so Puerto Rico is the time where us divers really go for new skills and are putting everything into learning something new so we can have it down before conference.
Because mm-hmm. I think who we talked about that
we talked
a little
about
bit.
Sam.
Sam, that's right, Coach Sam. Because it was right before you guys left, I think,
yes.
when he was in here for that podcast. So. Well, cool. Do you have anything before we get to some lightning round here?
We talked. Well, I have one more.
Okay.
We talked to Brett Farmer last year,
mm-hmm.
and he gave us a story about how he wanted to, you know, make an impact with the team and pick up the diving. I don't like he's Sam's very or not Sam Brett is very humble, as we all know. I mean, how hard truly was that for a swimmer to, you know, because he did it in what, 3 months? I'm trying to remember. Two, a couple. Like, how hard is that transition, would you say, from a diver's perspective?
I don't know. I think Brett is a very unique case. He did an amazing job of transitioning. He had a little bit of tumbling experience, I believe, but he really wanted to compete on that conference team, so he was learning new dives almost every day.
Mm-hmm. What is that as a teammate to see another teammate do that? I mean, what's the thought that you had, like, or what's that message that's being sent through the team from a teammate watching a teammate do that for your squad?
I mean, it was really inspiring. I mean, we all cheered him on and helped him get there or get to where he needed to be for conference. He learned a back 1.5 somersault on the 3 meter at the conference meet.
Really?
5 minutes before competing.
Does that kind of grind your gears though too? It's like, dude, you know, I've been doing this for how long and you're already doing that, you know, that
level. No, it was just fun to watch him do what he could do.
That's awesome. Should we get to some lightning round?
Yeah,
jump into over it. Here. So easy stuff here. Well, sometimes it's kind of hard. Favorite food?
I like pasta.
Okay, what kind of pasta? Because
I like Alfredo.
All right. Do you put like shrimp, chicken in there or anything?
Yeah, I'll do
chair going.
I'll do chicken.
Chicken. All right. You want to ask it?
Pizza lover?
Yes, I do like pizza.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Not for me.
Thank you.
But you're okay with people doing it?
If it's like a Hawaiian pizza, maybe, but not on every type of pizza.
So the Canadian bacon and,
yeah,
and pineapple,
yeah,
over there. By the way, I appreciate you not sending me any pics on spring break.
Yeah, and I appreciate you blowing up my phone while I'm trying to work.
Oh, stop it. Let's go. Favorite movie of all time?
Big Star Wars and Marvel fan.
So which are you, like the Star Wars of like the 70s, you know, Luke Skywalker? Do you have a favorite Star Wars one that pops out to you? Or?
Probably like the prequel series, okay, along with like the Clone Wars TV show, yeah.
Okay. So Marvel, you got to have a favorite one, right?
Ooh, yes.
Or favorite superhero out of Marvel?
Yes. I would say, I mean, the Avengers movies are always good. I don't have like a favorite superhero though.
Okay. I'm Iron Man.
Yes.
And then Batman for DC.
Yeah.
Batman's number one of all of them.
I don't know. I haven't been keeping up on what they've been putting out. Honestly, it's kind of fell off. But.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the last thing you binge watched or are currently binge watching, like on Netflix or Hulu or anything like that? Is there a series that you've been watching or catching up on?
No, I have not had time to sit down and watch a series.
Are you thinking about doing it?
Now that the season's over, yeah, I'll probably start something, but I have
Send
no
Blake
idea
some
what.
Suggestions, yes. Right? Send Blake suggestions. So, favorite music?
Anything that's like usually on the radio is nice. Yeah, definitely not like rock or country or more like pop music. Definitely.
Do you have like a pregame routine? Do you listen to music beforehand, or do you always try to do something, you know, superstitious before you any of your meets?
I don't usually listen to music, but yes, I'm very superstitious. So like usually I'll do my first dive, and if it was good, like whatever I did going into that first dive, I will end up keeping that routine throughout all 11 dives.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
Favorite hobby or thing to do outside of diving?
Trying to get into reading. That's about it right now.
Biggest influence in your life?
My coaches and parents.
Favorite hangout in Eau Claire?
I haven't explored a lot of Eau Claire. I do like the mall.
Yeah. Are you a coffee drinker?
I am, yes.
Well, how do you take your coffee?
I like it dark, but with a little bit of cream.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's fine. Do you have any?
Well, since you're graduating in May, favorite team memory since you've been here?
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I really do like our conference meet. It's a big, exciting meet where the whole team comes together and everyone is supportive of each other.
Mm-hmm. What are those conference meets like? Because I've heard that they can get pretty intense at times.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always a close race between us and other teams, and you really can't tell the result until the last day. So it's easy to get in your head about, oh, like we had a bad swim today or we had a bad dive. Like this could be the end of the meet, but that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. You have to play the meet out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have any other ones there, Nick, before we let our future graduates leave us here for a little bit?
Oh, this was spectacular. Yeah. This is awesome.
Well, I mean, Blake, you've started off on a high note, and I guess you're ending your career on a high note too, yeah. Right? The 2 years you've been there, nationals each way. So that's pretty dang fantastic, man. That's
Thank
a job
you.
Well mm-hmm. done. That's absolutely fantastic. So we appreciate you stopping by and talking to us for a little bit. And, well, best of luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you for having me.
You got it.